Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the master of mirth and inveterate storyteller, Brian Brown, who created the Brown Briefly. Together, we, the Brieflies, strive with dogged determination to keep Brian's creative flame alive by bringing to you every week another episode of intelligent discussion, we hope, of current events laced with humor and empathy. And we always strive to follow Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. Let's start today, as we do every Tuesday, by introducing the Briefly. Sitting beside me and engineering the show from behind the board at the Voice of Vachon's Gene Bosch broadcast studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon, and keeping us on the magenta line is my friend, flight instructor, recently reelected Vachon Airport Commissioner, Voice of Vachon board member, West Texas Roughneck and Eastern Montana band member, former Army Intelligence Specialist and fellow treetop flyer, Truman O'Brien.
Oh, good God, morning, Truman. I thought you weren't ever going to get through that. Hey, Wes.
How you
good
doing?
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, great. Thanks.
All right. Zooming in from his home here on Vachon above Burton is the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group, in addition to chairing the Equity, Social Justice, and Inclusion Committee of the Vachon Maury Community Council, our tireless defender of democracy who strives to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate or at least tolerate. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm here. I'm bathed in sunshine coming in the south window, and it's looking like a spectacular day in the Pacific Northwest.
It does. Great. Then we have some individuals who are farther afield. Also joining us again is from Zoom, I should say on Zoom, from Denver, Colorado, is the executive director of the Vachon Chamber of Commerce, 1995 graduate of Vachon High School. And she later received a bachelor's degree from Scripps College in Southern California.
Sunny.
What?
Yes. Sunny.
Sunny, yes. From there, she worked in politics and organizing for 6 years in Washington, D.C., and at the GLBT Center in Colorado. Among her most influential experiences, Amy worked for social change makers, including Gloria Steinem. How you doing, Amy?
I'm good. I'm looking at scattered sunshine here. The clouds are really beautiful in Denver. They're very scattery, so no bright sunshine, but I like that the theme today is sunshine.
In Denver, that could last all of 5 or 10 minutes before weather changes again.
That's right. It could. It's plenty cold, I'll tell you. It's plenty cold to go with that sun here. Very, very typical winter Denver day.
Yeah. Okay. And then zooming in from the farthest away in the southern hemisphere in New Zealand is historian extraordinaire, skipper of the Vashona, president of Vashon's Fantastic Heritage Museum, Haka devotee, and our own globe-trotting guardian of the galaxy, Bruce Holman, is present and accounted for. How is summer in New Zealand, Bruce?
It's a bit warmer than Vashon. We're having a cool spell right now. It's only going to be 70 today, but bright and sunny. So
I can
not
tell
that I'm rubbing it in any, but
I can tell from that wonderful shirt that you have on that it's warm. We can see Bruce on a Zoom screen here in the studio.
But I'll be home on Thursday, so I'll be able to share the suffering.
Oh, good. Oh,
well, it's a beautiful day here today, so that's
chilly,
a good deal.
Chilly, but pretty.
Yeah. Mine is the voice of Craig Bellis, former tow truck repo man, Teamster, apprentice auto mechanic, Pinkerton guard of the Pan Am's first 747, high fashion shoe salesman, former Washington State Assistant Attorney General, torts and constitutional law professor, two-time Fulbright scholar, and international arbitrator and mediator, and I'm just Jim Dandy as well, like the rest of us. Our guest today is former intern to U.S. Senator Warren G. Magnuson, legislative aide to Seattle Councilman and then future Mayor Norm Rice, 14 years on the King County Council, serving Vashon, amongst other places. Two-term mayor of Seattle, and in 2009 elected president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. It is my great pleasure to welcome Greg Nichols. How are you, Greg?
Well, I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day on Vashon. I hope that he doesn't suffer too much coming back from New Zealand, but if it's anything like today, I think he'll enjoy this beautiful island. It was my honor to represent Vashon for 10 years on the county council. When I was first elected, I was elected to a long, skinny district that started at Alki Point and ended in Algona Pacific on the Pierce County line. The Federal Way District came all the way north of Lincoln Park to capture as many of the Republicans who had views as possible. We were just in that Federal Way District and had to move for me to run. 2 years later, we changed that. We made the district more compact and didn't split every community along the way. And I got to represent Vashon, so I was very, very happy with that.
And Greg, I remember you saying at one point, Vashon has got the smallest population, but the loudest voices of anyone.
It was about 10% of the population of my district, and it was about 50% of the work.
Yeah.
And that was great. The island always had voices that spoke very eloquently of the needs of the island and allowed me then to represent the island very effectively. So it was a great partnership.
I agree.
That's true.
So keep up the good work, Vashon.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Hey, before we start talking to Greg specifically about his expertise and experience in some key areas that are of interest to the residents of Vashon Maury Island, let's take a minute and check in with everybody about what they've been up to this past week. And I'll start out with you, Bruce.
Let me hear.
Yeah, you are.
We're just finishing out this 2.5 month journey to Australia, New Zealand. And this is my last year doing this program. I've been doing it since 2001. So for 24 years, I've been coming down to Australia, New Zealand. Every winter, my wife complains, I don't know what a real Vashon winter is like. However, COVID sort of corrected that bit. For 2 years, we didn't come down because of COVID. New Zealand would not let us in for some reason. But other than that, it's been great. So, but I am looking forward to being home again.
And so are we.
Looking forward to having him home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Kevin. What have you been up to?
My challenge for the day, we'll see how this works out. I have a 40-year-old maple tree. It had 10 years of growth before it moved with me here and Susie and I to Vashon. And the planter that I built at the time when we moved has now disintegrated. And so I built a planter so a forklift could get under and lift it because it's like a 4x4 foot planter. So I knew it was going to be heavy. But so far, I haven't found a forklift on Vashon. But I do have a neighbor who has a rig, and we're going to see if we can actually make that tree move into its new home this afternoon. So cross your fingers.
That sounds like famous last words. I have a neighbor who has a rig.
and he has a lot of expertise. He actually milled some wood for me. Just a while back. He does this for everybody on the island.
Okay.
You don't know Brad Schreid. Brad is in that business,
sure,
amongst other things. And so, yeah, he did had some standing dead fir that I decided to take down because it was a fire hazard. And this fir is like dried in place, right? There's no cutting and stacking and stickering. It's just all like dry. It came out really nice and it's very stable, really smooth. And I've got all kinds of now 7/8 fir paneling that I can find a good use for.
There you go. Amy in Colorado, what have you been up to this last week?
I've been up to traveling. So I flew out last Thursday. I'm flying back to Vashon this Thursday. And I am reminded that I have been traveling through two airports under construction, two major airports under construction, which is fantastic for our national infrastructure. challenging for the traveler. And just to, I think I'd love to put SeaTac travelers a little bit at ease that compared to the Denver airport, the construction and progress is stunningly smooth and wonderful. The Denver airport has got, I think it's got some real, a great future on tap, but the construction is incredible and has been ongoing for a very long time. So just a little peace of mind for all you Seattle travelers, I hope.
Well, let me tell you, Amy, it's not just two airports. As a retired airline pilot, I can assure you that in the summertime, every airport in the country is under construction. And in fact, in Alaska, they have two seasons, winter and construction. And so that's the way it works, yeah.
Yes, and Denver very much the same with the roads as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I've always thought the Denver airport was an oxymoron. Isn't the Denver airport in Nebraska?
It's just about. Just about.
Almost. But you know what? So they gambled. Well, they didn't gamble. I'm sure there was an extreme amount of planning involved. But, you know, when they put in the quote-unquote new airport, it's at least 20, 30 years ago now, you know, the city planners had projected growth towards the airport. But what happened was that the city actually grew in different ways, right? It did not grow to the airport. But Denver, which is booming, is now finally growing to the airport. Mm. So it doesn't feel like you're on a road trip and you need to make a mixtape anymore.
That's good. Truman, how about you?
Well, I had a fun night on Saturday night. I went to go see at the O Space Stephanie Ann Johnson, who's a blues singer and from Seattle. Fantastic, fantastic singer, and had a wonderful band with her, guitar, lead guitar, bass, and drums. And the bass player was a woman who the bass was almost as big as she was. And our friend Bruce Ferris, the bass player, was there, and I chatted with him for a minute. And I said, boy, this bass player is great. He said, not only that, she's a dear friend for the last two decades. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
for sure. Anyway, and there's a real possibility that Stephanie Ann Johnson and her group may open for the Tedeschi Trucks Band, which is coming in May to Paramount. So that's pretty exciting.
That's good. I mean, you got our airplane up in the air, too.
I did, yeah. Well, we did. Yeah. we put it back together. Okay, just a couple of things left to do to
that's
get
right.
it
a few
flying
bolts,
again.
Four so large.
Four bolts. Oh, that one on the door? Oh, yeah, right, that one, yeah.
Oh, I know. It's too
just
soon.
Just kidding.
Greg, how about you?
Well, our week is often surrounding grandchildren. We have five grandchildren.
Whoa.
Three in West Seattle and two in Burien. We have one of the Burien kids every Friday, and we have one of the West Seattle kids every Monday. So yesterday, we took three-year-old Adrian across on the water taxi to downtown, gave him a look at the Great Wheel, which we don't think he's quite ready for, but we're planning on doing that when the weather gets a little warmer. And so we had a great, great outing. Friday, we had a similar one with his three-year-old cousin. So that's a big part of our day and week these days. And I also, since I was basically a young adult, I've kept an aquarium. And I got a little bit ambitious and decided to try and find a slightly larger tank, a slightly larger community of fish. And I think we're going to change that out tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. Good luck on that.
Yeah, thank you.
And when you say
do you need a rig?
yeah, that's right.
You need Kevin knows somebody.
Well, this is on Craigslist, and he's willing to deliver it from
wow.
North Seattle. So,
wow.
Or she. I guess I don't know.
Yeah. It's a deal. When you say we, you're talking about the beautiful and talented Sharon as
yes,
well.
Yes, Sharon has accompanied me this morning, and she actually does most of the child care. I fill in as needed and try and keep the kids stimulated, but not too much so.
That's right. Yeah. Keep the sugar down.
And so she's with me today, as she was many, many times when I represented Vashon on the on the county council.
That's great. Yeah. Well, welcome, Sharon. Good to see you here.
How about you, Craig? What did you do?
Well, I emceed the Paul Caldwell Music Scholarship Concert on Sunday. where we had about 17 singer-songwriters from the island. Wonderful, wonderful group of performers. Great afternoon at the Vashon High School Theater for about, almost 3 hours of singing. So all the notables from the island were there. And then I did a wedding last week as well. Had a lot of fun with that. Nobody asked me to sing, but but I did a wedding. I had a good time with the wedding. So that was my week. Okay, let's talk about today real briefly. Today is a significant day, like all days are. But this one is a day that it has us, 301 days from the end of this leap year. And 136 days, Amy, till Strawberry Festival.
And counting.
That's all right.
Time we do this,
I see some jazz hands.
Yeah, that's right. I mentioned how many days you got in order to get that act together. I'm sure you got it well on its way.
It's looking good. There's a lot of pieces that are looking really good.
That's great. Great. And I would expect nothing less of you. We have high expectations. Today is National Absinthe Day. Absinthe, as many of you know, is an alcohol that was banned in the United States from 1912 to 2007.
And still should be in my mind.
Well, only because why?
It's horrible.
Well, it really is no different.
What about Sazerac? Come on, you can't do that without absinthe.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It turns out there really isn't anything in there except for alcohol. No. Yeah. That has an effect on individuals. Did I see a hand up there? I thought I saw. I'm looking at the Zoom screen. No scratching your nose over there on the screen, okay? I'll sell you something if you're not careful.
Try to stay in compliance, sir.
That's right. This is also Multiple Personality Day.
What?
Can any of the 10 people here identify with that?
Several, yes.
And it's National Cheese Doodle Day. And National Potty Dance Day, meaning basically when you've got to go to the bathroom, you don't have a bathroom. That's what that's all about.
I was
about.
Wondering what that was.
Yeah. You know the dance. Mm. Yes, Kevin.
That Multiple Personalities Day could go along with the trend here on Vashon. If you need 8 opinions, ask 4 people.
That's right.
That's right.
That's exactly right. In history on this day in 1853, Truman, you'd be interested in this.
I saw that.
Steinway and Sons Piano Company was established in New York City. I say that because Truman is an accomplished pianist.
I don't know about accomplished.
You can keep a tune.
I can keep a tune. Hey, it was Steinweg initially, then they changed it to Steinway.
They Americanized it a little or something. Yeah. In 1907, the first musical radio broadcast in the United States was made. And the first thing that was broadcast was the William Tell Overture.
The Lone Ranger.
Good first song.
Lone Ranger, right?
Yeah.
That's the one.
In 1955, continuing on with the musical theme there, Elvis made his first television appearance on the Louisiana Hayride Show out of Shreveport, Louisiana. And then in 1960, on this day again, Elvis ended his 2-year hitch in the Army. So all Elvis. And then finally, 2 years ago, in 2022, on this day, explorer Ernest Shackleton's ship, the Endurance, that sank in 1915 after the ice closed in on it, was discovered in Antarctica in excellent condition at a depth of nearly 10,000 feet.
Yeah.
Where they're leaving it as a memorial and monument and whatnot. I wouldn't doubt that that Captain Joe might talk about that today. I'm not going to put the pressure on. I don't know if he is or not, but he's a Shackleton expert.
Big time. Big time.
All right, enough with the tomfoolery. We are moving into the small talk segment, and we again have the pleasure and honor of Seattle Mayor Greg Nichols being present, and he has a cough like many of us do from time to time. That's all right.
Mostly when I'm on air.
Yeah, that's the truth of all of us.
Welcome you. You know, in my intro, I gave a very abbreviated summary of your very long and illustrious political life. We'll get to some of that in a moment, but I'd like to know kind of what you've been up to since you left the mayor's office. You didn't just go home. You engaged in a lot of very interesting activities.
I did. The first thing I wanted to do I left office at the very end of 2009 after 8 years as mayor. I wanted to get out of town. So I had an opportunity to go to the Harvard Institute of Politics as a resident fellow. Got to meet some really smart kids who were very much into politics and anxious to learn from practitioners. And there were six of us who were resident fellows that semester. Great experience. Loved the city of Boston. The mayor at that time, Tom Menino, was a friend. Treated us very well. So that was a great experience and got me away as my successor was taking apart Team Nichols. So I didn't have to watch that real close. Later that summer, I was enjoying life and got a call from the White House asking me if I would like to represent the United States at the UN General Assembly that fall.
And remind us who was in the White House at the time.
President Obama. Mm-hmm. It's something that started with Eleanor Roosevelt. Harry Truman appointed her the first citizen ambassador, mm-hmm. Public delegate, it's called. And now every General Assembly, we have generally three folks who sit in that chair and speak from that podium on behalf of our country. So that was an incredible honor.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And way out of my wheelhouse as a local government practitioner. So enjoyed that very much. Enjoyed New York a lot more than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried about the size and the scale and the pace of the city. And for a few weeks, it kind of was mind-boggling. And then I got used to it, started to cross against the light, and felt very, very much at home. So, again, that was a great honor. Kept me out of the city for about 4 months and, got to meet some very interesting folks from around the world. After that, I was, a fellow for an organization, Living Cities, that does good work with philanthropy and inner cities. And I've been on a number of boards. I've been a volunteer board member for environmental organizations, and still today, History Link, which documents the history of the state of Washington online. It was the very first online encyclopedia of history, mm-hmm. before Wikipedia,
mm-hmm.
And an environmental organization based in D.C. So I keep my hand in. But most of what we're doing these days is watching those grandkids grow up. They're 8, 2 5-year-olds and 2 3-year-olds.
Oh my gosh. That's fantastic.
Well, that's remarkable. I can't imagine what that experience in both Boston and New York was. And I think you mentioned are you currently on a redistricting committee?
The city of Seattle moved to council districts a few years ago, 2013. And there's a requirement in the city charter now that every time there's a census, there will be a redistricting to even out the population. Hmm. So Mayor Durkan asked me to serve on the first commission, which was a year and a half ago. That took about a year, which was probably 9 months longer than it needed to take. But it is Seattle, and we like to have our say. So I did serve there, and I also, which will be of some benefit, I hope, to Vashon Islanders, is I co-chaired the committee that oversaw the fixing up of the West Seattle Bridge when it went out and made the recommendation to the mayor that we fix it rather than replace it.
Good for you.
Well, yeah. It wasn't clear at first, Truman. Yeah. It looked like it was toast.
Yeah, I know.
And we brought in experts, mm-hmm. and we were convinced that it could be fixed, mm-hmm. that it would last another 40 years if it were fixed. So,
great.
Boy, that drive around for as long as it was.
That was bad news.
Man. You had a doctor's appointment at 9. You had to stay overnight in the city kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was hard, but you really do appreciate that.
But there's one good thing that happened out of that, I have to tell you, and that is that I started going to Tacoma quite a lot because of not having to go to Seattle. And you know what? Tacoma's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
Tacoma's in.
Cool.
Yeah, I was surprised. So. Yeah. Anyway.
Not as cool as Vashon.
No, no, of course.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's right. All right, let's move on. There are several issues that were a focus of your administration and much of your life. Kevin, I think you want to ask a question about one of them.
Well, yeah, Greg, I particularly appreciate, first of all, thank you for being here with us today. It's,
my pleasure.
It is a true pleasure to have a chance to have talk with you, understand about your life after Seattle mayorship. But I'm glad you mentioned the environment. It's an item near and dear to my heart. I know that Vashon really cherishes our environment here. I know that you were and are a great advocate for fighting global warming and reducing dangerous emissions that contribute to that warming. I'm curious about your role in creating the U.S. Mayor's Climate Protection, other initiatives you fostered as a mayor, and kind of what you think about our state of the climate today and what we might do looking forward.
Well, with five grandkids, I worry a lot about what we have sentenced them to. You know, we've had now heat domes that have affected us. We certainly see different patterns of weather as a result of climate change. So I worry a lot about that. In 2004, taking you back, and 2005, that winter was a very warm, dry winter in the Northwest, and the ski season was canceled here in the Seattle area, which was a tragedy for many skiers. But for me as mayor, really brought home the fact that we rely on the snowmelt every spring for power and water, green hydroelectric power and clean, beautiful water. Yep. So if that snow doesn't appear, we are in trouble. We have century-old systems that no longer are sustainable. So that's why I took the issue up. I wasn't looking for more work. I figured that there were smart people in Washington, D.C. working on it. Then I woke up to the fact that, no, they actually weren't under the Bush administration. And so I took it up because it was a local issue. And I knew that if it was just Seattle, it would be purely symbolic. And it is very difficult to get people to change behavior for purely symbolic reasons.
Yeah.
So I challenged other mayors to join with us. Ultimately, 1,050 mayors joined Seattle in pledging to reduce their emissions by the amount called for in what was then the Kyoto Treaty that went into effect on February 16th of 2005. And I took that day to announce our effort and our pledge to reduce our emissions by the amount called for in that treaty, even though the United States had failed to sign on and 140 other countries had. Right. So that's how I kind of dipped my toe in that. I wasn't looking for a global role or a national role. I was looking to protect some of the important things that we have here in our region with power and water. Yeah. So we had had, in the city, my predecessor started an environmental action agenda. And I have to tell you, it was a very uninspiring agenda. It was a sort of list of random good deeds for the environment. And so we use climate as the focus of our environmental work. We moved to get City Light, Seattle City Light, which is the 10th largest public utility, public electric utility in the country, to zero net emissions. And we achieved that. So when you turn the lights on in Seattle, you are not roasting the planet. And we're proud of that. There were a number of things that went into it, but mostly it was thinking about what my kids and grandkids were going to live with, along with, of course, all of our neighbors and their kids and grandkids. So it seemed to me that it was time to take action.
You actually met or exceeded actual goals, did you not?
We did. We measured our progress in like 2008, a year before I left office, and we had achieved that 12%, I think it was a 8% reduction or 12% reduction from 2012.
It was significant.
We believe we met it. We also discovered that there was no really standard way to measure it. And the federal government had never established a way to measure it, which is a pretty important thing if you're trying to achieve goals like that.
Mm. Kevin?
Well, I wanted to say thanks for creating that leadership, Greg. Today, as you, I'm sure you well know, Seattle is leading in building code updates. They just, I think it was last year, passed building performance standards, which means, well, building codes help us with new buildings. Building performance standards means let's get those existing buildings to do a better job of protecting our climate. And just as you mentioned about snowfall, interesting to watch, you know, climate emission data over the years. You know, when COVID came along, there was a reduction in carbon emissions because people weren't driving to work, right? And businesses weren't spooling up their machines as much as they were. And I was sort of hoping that, okay, great, we're going to see now we've turned the corner. But apparently last year, or maybe the year before, I'm not positive, our climate emissions in the Northwest actually went up. You know why? We had a low snow year. We didn't have as much hydro.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what you, I really appreciate you mentioning those things. They're super important to us and our future. Continue to prompt priorities about how to address those things today.
You know, Greg, you talk about these major initiatives, macroscopic, initiatives. But you did a lot of little things for the island that for us were really significant, like the Fern Cove, the 13 and a half acres that you were instrumental in preserving. I remember that back when you were, I'm trying to remember, you were at the time still, I think, a county councilman.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a comment about that.
Yeah.
That was my very first year as a park commissioner. And the very first project that I had anything to do with was taking over Fern Cove. And the way that worked is that the land trust had gone out and found the funding for it, but in order for it to take the funding, it had to be owned by a government entity. And I think, Greg, that's where you came in, encouraging the park district to get involved. And we did, and between the two of us, your office and the park district, we were able to get the money and purchase the property for Fern Cove. So anyway, very much appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That was a fun project.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that as well, Amy. I saw your hand up. You're the expert, working on becoming the expert on Vashon transportation. You have a question?
Oh, I hope not. I know. if your name is forever linked to the boats, it's like kind of having your name forever linked to a bridge, right? To the bridge conversation, right? But I mean, there's. We are awaiting this afternoon news, hopefully from the legislature, about what came out of conference on the budget and whether or not our provisions are going to be in there. There are significant provisions for the Washington State Ferries that will be really strong enhancements. We're really hoping there's $169,000 in there for a scheduler planner earmarked, which we are really hoping makes it out so that Washington State Ferries can fulfill a commitment to revise the two-boat schedule if there is staff to do so. And the other thing we've got is our Representative Alvarado introduced $3.2 million for water taxi expansion, for midday water taxi expansion. So speaking of, Mayor Nichols, I know that you and Executive Constantine were pretty helpful in getting water taxi for Vashon when everything went down with Iman and we lost it and things changed so drastically. What are you thinking right now? I mean, there's a million ways to address our transportation issues on Vashon, but what are you seeing, you know, in this whole ferry discussion, and what solutions do you see?
Well, first, let me take credit for the water taxi. We started that about 23 years ago as a demonstration. And it was at the time just West Seattle, and we wanted to show that water-based transit could prove itself and have a market. The bridge seemed fine at the time, so it wasn't because we were worried that, you know, 10 years later the bridge would go out. But we wanted another alternative. And Dow Constantine, when he replaced me on the county council, and then Joe McDermott when he replaced Dow, both worked very hard to keep it alive and then create the ferry district that expanded to Vashon and made it a permanent service rather than just a demonstration project. So I want to make sure that Dow and Joe get plenty of kudos for that because they did great work. The water taxi in West Seattle during the bridge closure started during winter off months, if you will, to have midday service. And that's very important. If you're going to rely on it as an everyday transit option, but you're not commuting in, you know, traditional peak hours, having that midday service you can count on is really important. So I very much hope that the midday service is expanded to Vashon. Right now, I think the first boat is at 4:30, so it's clearly a peak-based system right now. And I think it, you know, people's lives have changed. We don't go to work at 8 o'clock every morning and come home at 5 o'clock. We often will work from home, or we will have a different kind of flexible schedule. So having that midday service you can count on an ongoing basis, I think, is really important. The ferry system, honestly, I have not followed that. It just seems like there hasn't been much provision for new boats to replace some really aging fleets, and that needs to be taken care of. The downtown ferry dock, the Coleman dock, now is brand new, and I think it's going to serve Bremerton and Kingston, Winslow, really well for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years. The passenger ferry dock just south of Coleman dock is a great facility, and I think will serve us well for an equally a long period of time. So I think those two options are good going forward. But Fauntleroy and the two-boat versus three-boat configuration, we need to have both the crews and the vessels to be able to have an adequate level of service. Now, Truman may remember this. When I first became the council member representing Vashon, I was schooled on what a ferry system meant to this community, that you wanted good service but not great service.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
Great service would put too much pressure, growth right. pressure, on the island. And so we tried to balance that when I was representing the island, and hopefully the current representatives will appreciate the kind of subtlety of that today.
Well, that's a perfect segue into the next topic. Before I get into that, though, I know that you spent time in Boston. Don't they have a wonderful water taxi system there in Boston?
They do, and the T. I enjoyed taking their historic transit vehicles throughout the city. It's a great city. It's a similar in size. It's now smaller than Seattle, right. but at the time it was about the same size as Seattle. Just a lot older.
Yeah, yeah.
I do recall in 1992 we had a little meeting on the island that I facilitated with 2,000 residents. It had to do with another bridge.
Yes.
I am well aware of that.
That's, yeah. I know, and you made your position clear on that. That being that we're not going to do that. I actually called up Governor Rossellini when he was living here. And I said, Governor, you already have a bridge named after you. We don't need another one.
We need another one here, do we? Yeah. So trying to limit the ferry traffic as we did, one of the reasons was because of the affordable housing on the island.
Yeah.
And it's pretty obvious that, you know, with increased taxes and just the economy as it is, that low-income folks can't live here and work here. And we need our critical work staff to be able to live on the island.
Mm-hmm.
I know I was formerly the president of the board of Vashon Community Care, and we ended up having to buy ferry tickets for our employees because they could not live on the island. They had to live over in Kitsap. So I guess what I'm getting around to is what is your – do you have any thoughts on a way to foster affordable housing here on the island? And do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, unfortunately, that's one of those – very difficult issues that probably needs to be dealt with at a higher pay scale. I did what I could as mayor to increase the density in the city. We did things like allow backyard cottages, which effectively doubled the density in single-family neighborhoods in Seattle. And we set in place policies that have increased the population of the city from a little over 500,000 to almost 750,000 now. That then takes pressure off of rural areas in King County and in Puget Sound region. So that was one thing that we thought would help. It also reduces our carbon emissions because people aren't traveling so far to get to entertainment and work and school and the like. So I think that it's an issue that isn't just a Vashon issue. It is, and it's not just a Seattle metropolitan area issue. It's a national issue where, you know, young folks are having a very hard time getting into the housing market. In many cases, they've given up. And we need to find alternatives that allow that door to stay open, I think, for people. But I don't necessarily have the answer to how we do that.
Was the skinny house, I mean, that's what we called them, the skinny house initiative, was that part of your program where you put two homes on a lot rather than...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll plead guilty to that.
it had both good and bad.
It did.
Yeah.
And the backyard cottages have been very successful. Oh, yeah. There's a second unit, which is available for...
mother-in-law apartments, we call them.
Yeah. So it's available at a lower cost, and it brings down the cost of ownership of the original house as well by helping pay the mortgage.
Exactly.
So... there are things like that. We started out, that actually was an issue that I worked on in my early days when I was an aide to Councilmember Rice. At the time, we called them add-a-rentals.
Oh.
And we got killed on that issue. We just, people had no desire to add a rental in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
We started calling them backyard cottages when I became mayor. And, oh, well, that wouldn't
well, that
be.
Well, that makes sense,
that
yeah.
That wouldn't be so bad. And every time a planner came in and called them a DADU, detached accessory dwelling unit, I threw them out of my office. I said, there's a certain way to communicate this that will allow people to visualize it in a way that won't bring out the pitchforks.
There you go. Excellent, excellent.
Well, we're quickly running through time here. Bruce, I think you had a question for the mayor. Did you not?
Let me get my mic on. Here
you go.
I do. You know, you were mayor of Seattle sort of 2000 to 2010 when Seattle went through a pretty massive kind of gentrification. I mean, it's been going on before. It's gone on since. But you were there at sort of one of the heights of that, particularly since 2015 on Vashon. We've gone into kind of a hyper gentrification. What did you do as mayor to sort of deal with social and social justice issues in a gentrifying society? Because it's a very difficult kind of thing to deal with.
In about 2005, I established something called the Race and Social Justice Initiative, and it was the first in the United States. My thinking was that we are a very rapidly changing society. By 2040, we will no longer have a white majority in the United States. And as we're seeing in our politics today, there's a huge backlash. I don't know that most folks are thinking of it in those terms, but there is a huge backlash, and some of the hate crimes that we're seeing and the rise of racist politics is, I think, being a reaction to the reality of our multiracial society. My thinking in 2005 was if we can talk about this, if we can put it on the table and have civil conversation around this and figure out how we deal with institutional racism and white privilege without people feeling victimized or ostracized, we will be far ahead in terms of being able to deal with the massive changes that are occurring in our society. And we will be ahead of the rest of the world by being able to deal with one another as human beings rather than members of particular races ethnic groups. So I'm very proud that that race and social justice initiative is still alive today. It engaged all 11,000 city employees, many of whom were skeptics when we started it. And when I left office, we did a survey of city employees, and for 76% of them, it was an important part of their daily job.
Wow.
So every mayor since me has taken credit for it, which is a win. I love that.
Absolutely.
If you do something and people want to be part of it and want to take a credit, that's a great thing. It obviously hasn't solved the problem, but I think it gives us a chance to deal with issues in a way that that we can be direct and transparent and hopefully deal with the underlying issues that led to the situation.
Just to follow up with that, you know, one of the things you talked about was sort of rational discourse. Hearing. So how do you see it sort of developing and emerging, particularly in this sort of hyper of divisions that we are in right now, particularly around race and equity and social justice kind of things? How do you see us winding our way through it, do you?
Craig mentioned a few minutes ago 1992. He did a little flashback. Well, in 1992, there was a new congressional district in Washington State, the 9th District, and it followed my old council boundaries all the way down to the Pierce County line. And so I looked at whether I wanted at that age and that period of time to run for that congressional seat. And I decided, Sharon and I decided no, for family reasons, but also because in a local office, you look people in the eye and you talk to them about why you did what you did. State office and federal office, you don't see that anymore. Yes, our state reps will come, off session and meet with us, but it isn't the same kind of dialogue that a mayor or a council member who's effectively the local government can have. So I elected to stay in local government because we could have those honest conversations that we can no longer have at the federal. I mean, try and think of the last time we had a serious conversation at the national level around an important issue. It's always, you're trying to victimize or you're trying to demonize somebody and at the local level. So that's why we were successful on the climate issue, because we got a bottom-up approach that then made it possible and safe for our federal officials to talk about climate change, which, they weren't previously willing to do. So I think you start at the grassroots level and you build a coalition, a broad coalition.
Let me follow up that question. Vashon's never had its own government. I mean, we have the airport district, Truman, a nod to you. We have a cemetery district, you have water districts, things like that. But Vashon's never had a government. It's never been sort of incorporated. We've always been sort of a vassal state, if you will, of King County and the state of Washington. Should Vashon incorporate? Should Vashon become an independent government?
Oh,
I was going to say, that's a light one.
You're trying to draw me into it. I feel a landmine up ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah. I think that's up to the people of Vashon to decide. The one caution I would give is that if you adopt a city government structure, there is going to be a push to increase the tax base in order to fund the basic services. And that could lead to more gentrification, that could lead to more urbanization of this rural island. And so I would be very cautious and look very carefully at that aspect of it before I would like to see the people of Vashon make that kind of decision.
Kevin, before Just to refresh your memory, you were instrumental in putting me on a committee that investigated governance options for Vashon way back in 91 or 2 or something. And we came to that exact conclusion. We didn't want to go the Bainbridge route.
Right.
And knowing that under the Growth Management Act, we might have to suck up more population.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, did you have something else, or did I jump on you there?
Well, I was just going to add to that I've heard from multiple sources. I've never done the research to chase this down, but that I think there's a King County ordinance or something that says Vashon will not incorporate as a city.
It would not surprise me that the comprehensive plan probably speaks to that.
Yeah, it's a state law. Vashon can't incorporate, but it's still a question of whether we should have more independence in our governments. My opinion is like yours. We don't want any more independence than we have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the downside of some of that is, do you really want your neighbors deciding some of these issues?
Well, if you have good representation like we had with Greg, and we're looks like maybe we're going to have with Teresa Mosqueda, then it works. I mean, in my mind,
yeah,
right? It does work.
And representative government needs effective representation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the original community, enhanced community council plan was working real well until a couple of monkey wrenches were thrown into it. Yeah. Kevin, you got your hand up there? Go ahead.
I will say that we're definitely working on the representation part, so that's always good. And, of course, we now have a renewed community council here on Vashon. So voices are again being heard through that avenue. So, but I was curious, I know I was thinking, Craig, as you're going through the history of today, today is also going to maybe create history in Super Tuesday, right, in the nation. So many, and Truman, of course, as you and Molly really opened up people's awareness of how to think about that at the Morning Scramble show today. Greg, I'm kind of curious if you're willing to make any hazard any guesses, about the Washington State or national races coming up in November.
Well, I assume that Democrats in Washington State will support President Biden, and unfortunately, I think Republicans are going to support what's his name?
the other guy.
It looks like we're kind of locked into the general election already. I've been impressed with Nikki Haley's willingness to stick with it despite overwhelming odds against her. But she has a point of view about what's his name that is important. And I appreciate the fact that she is continuing to fight that battle. On the Democratic side, I think a lot of us are concerned about President Biden. I mean, he looks frailer than he did 4 years ago, and we worry about that. But in terms of policy and direction for the country, I think he clearly is headed not every issue, but in most cases, he's headed in the right direction. He's making life better for American citizens and those who have chosen to make us home without yet being citizens. I think another term would be well warranted. So, and I think Washington State will support him in the general election.
And what about Inslee? I'm just curious about how you're feeling about Inslee.
Well, I thought that Governor Inslee did an outstanding job during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I felt like our family was kept safe. We had clear guidance that came from science. So I very much appreciated, because that was certainly not an issue he anticipated when he ran for governor. I think he's done a fine job on climate issues. That's a passion of his, has been. When he was in Congress, we worked together when I was doing the mayor's climate protection agreement. I think, though, that after 12 years, it'll be good to have a fresh voice and new energy in that office. And I think we should thank him for his years of faithful service and welcome his successor.
Yeah, Greg, just one other quick item on Washington State. So I just did a little bit of history. In 2017, I know the first doors I ever knocked on for a candidate helped to elect Manka Dhingra to the state Senate, which actually flipped that chamber from Republican control to Democrat control. And in just, what, 6 short years today in Washington State, there's a 7 Democrat majority in the Senate and a 14 Democrat majority in the House. And I kind of wonder, like, how did that happen? Like, all of a sudden, I'm just curious what you think about in terms of trends around, you know, which, you know, party's policies and how that's playing out in Washington State. We've clearly, from the progressive perspective, made pretty huge advances over the next 6 years. What's your expectation maybe for the next 6? Could you put that in perspective for our listeners,
perhaps? Well, one of the things that I think is clear is that today we are concentrating growth in the urban areas. And the urban areas very much tend to be more progressive and more friendly to Democrats. So I think you'll continue to see that happen. One of the challenges I think we have that we need to meet is how do we reconnect urban and rural? It used to be that the Roosevelt coalition was equally popular in urban areas and in farmland. And we've lost that. So we need to find those things that give us a good sense of common good. One of the things that I would suggest that might help us do that would be 2 years of mandatory service. Not necessarily military service, but mandatory service, in return for which the individual would get school tuition, training dollars to be able to then follow some career path. But it would allow people from different backgrounds and different parts of the world, our world in the United States, to come together and understand one another as human beings and not just as caricatures that our campaigns tend to make them.
We are running out of time, and I just wanted to thank you and ask you if you had any final comments that you wanted to share with us.
Well, I'm a city guy, and I have been my entire life. Born in Chicago, lived in Seattle since I was 6, and I love cities. The first time I questioned that was when I represented Vashon Island and thought, you know, living on Vashon, being part of this community, would be okay and better than okay. And I just want to thank the folks of Vashon during my time in office for treating me really well and allowing me the honor of representing them, and in more recent years, being a nice refuge from time to time to bring our grandkids and show them a beautiful, vibrant community.
And we all appreciate the tremendous work you've done for us at the local and the national level.
Here.
Kevin, we have a successor of Mayor Nichols that we're going to have on the show next week, do we not?
We do. Teresa Mosqueda is planning to join us. She was planning to join us some time ago, but what happened is we talked to her before she was actually sworn in. And then the reality of committee assignments and committee meetings and all those things that all of a sudden crowd onto your calendar, Greg, I'm sure you could tell us all how that really works, was like, hey, wait a minute, we got to replan this. But yes, Teresa is planning to join us next Tuesday here on The Briefly.
And finally, you don't have any future political plans that you want to announce here for the first time on the Voice of Vashon, do you, Greg?
Only that I continue to be an active voter, and I want to see effective representation that in Seattle represents the whole range of viewpoints in the city, and in our region helps us achieve prosperity and justice for folks.
That's great. Thank you very much, Greg Nichols, for joining us today. It's been truly a pleasure discussing these issues with you. And for Greg Nichols, Amy, Kevin, Bruce, Truman, and me, thank you for listening to The Brown Briefly. And tune in next Tuesday when Kevin will be leading a discussion, as he had just mentioned. All right, everybody, have a great week. Enjoy the sun and wherever you are in the world, and we'll talk to you later.